into the word tonight, then we'll close tonight in prayer with some needs. We'll share needs tonight as we close and pray over those at the conclusion of the word tonight. But right now, let's just get into the word. Take your Bibles and turn with me, if you would, to the book of Hebrews, the 12th chapter of the book of Hebrews. We have been in a series that we closed out last week out of Romans chapter 12, and we talked about an altered way of living life from the altar, from an altar perspective. We finished that last week, and so tonight we're just going to jump into this lesson that the Lord has just kind of dropped into my heart, Hebrews chapter number 12, and I'm going to begin reading at verse number 25. Hebrews chapter 12, and we'll begin at verse 25. I'm going to talk to you tonight, and we're going to share this lesson tonight about the power of a voice. Power of a voice. So let's see what the Lord has to say to us tonight out of His Word. Hebrews 12, verse 25 says, "See that you do not refuse him who speaks." Now I want to stop there. And I want you to notice what the writer says to anyone that reads this. I want you to understand this. "See that you do not refuse him who speaks." Now, what does that say to you? Does that say anything to you as we just get started tonight? It says something significant to me. It says to me that he speaks and I can hear, but I have to receive what he's wanting to say. So when people say, "Well, God doesn't speak to me," maybe it's because you're refusing what he's saying. Amen? If you will start receiving what he's saying, he's speaking. There's a voice that speaks. "See that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven." See, they did not escape when God spoke through Moses and through them as he gave the law and as he gave instruction, and they refused, and therefore they did not escape the punishment. So how much more will we not escape the difficulties of life if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven? So it's telling us God desires to speak to us. Verse 26. "Whose voice," say voice. "Whose voice?" So God has a voice. He speaks and he has a voice. You need to hear that. And the only way we don't hear his voice and hear what he is saying is if we refuse. And if we refuse to hear or to listen, then the negatives begin to come in. The judgments, the difficulties, the issues of life that now we are trying to take upon ourselves. But God has a voice. Whose voice then? He then had a voice. He did have a voice. Whose voice then shook the earth. But now he has promised, saying. So not only did he have a voice then, he has a voice now. He had a voice when the writer of Hebrews was writing this. And now, but yet the voice was a promise. He has promised, saying, "Yet once more I shake not only the earth but also heaven." He is still speaking because he says, "Now I've spoken, but there's coming another time I'm going to speak, and I will not only shake earth, but heaven." Do you see that God is speaking? There is a voice that we need to be listening for. Verse 27, "Now this yet once more indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Go back with me now to verse 28. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom, the voice that we hear and the words that are being spoken by God encapsulate the kingdom. Everything outside the kingdom of God will be shaken. The kingdom of God is established by His voice and by His words. God said, and it was. The kingdom of God has been spoken, and everything outside of the kingdom will be shaken. So here's what the Lord has been driving this into my heart about the kingdom. He's been speaking to me, and I've been preaching to you about the kingdom. And the message that He has been speaking to me, He spoke word into my heart a few days back. And He said, I want you to keep talking about the kingdom. Because the more you talk about the kingdom, the more release comes to people to live in the kingdom. Everything else will begin to shake away. Because what God has spoken, He speaks dealing with the kingdom of God that is alive within us through Jesus Christ. And the more we hear of the kingdom, the more everything else falls away. Those that received from Moses under the law, the more they heard the law and applied the law, the things of man fell away from them. But when they refused the law, punishment came upon them. Amen. And the more we hear the voice of God, the more the kingdom of God comes alive in us, and the things of the world fall away from us. But if we refuse to hear the words of God, and we close our ears to those, and we say it doesn't matter, and we want to do our own thing, and we want to come up with our own doctrine and our own way, the more we do that, the more we bring the things of the world that are going to be shaken away, the more we bring them into our life. And we're building on instability. Come on, can you see that? Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, do you see the stability of the kingdom of God? If you want stability in your life, hear the voice that's speaking of the kingdom. Stability. God's kingdom is a kingdom of stability. It's a kingdom that is upheld. It's a kingdom that is strong. It's a kingdom that is settled. It's a kingdom that we can receive. Okay? But if we refuse that voice, everything else in our life is built on shaky ground. Instability. Isn't that what Jesus taught in the parable? Jesus taught, and He said, if you build your house upon the sand, what's going to happen? The rains will come. The house will fall down. Because it's on instability. It's on unstable ground. It's not going to be strong. But if you build your house upon the rock, amen? That just brings something to my mind. Let me just back this up for you. Go with me. I believe it's Matthew chapter 16. Jesus is saying, who do men say that I am? You remember that? Matthew chapter 16, down around verse 13, Jesus, He comes to Caesarea Philippi, and He says, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they're telling Him, John the Baptist. Some say you're Elijah, Jeremiah, one of the others. But He said, but who do you say that I am? And Peter has an unction from the Spirit of God, not even fully, completely aware that what he is saying is directly coming from the Spirit of God. He says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, blessed are you. Flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I will say to you that you are Peter, meaning that little rock, a piece of the rock. And on this rock, the rock of your confession of Jesus Christ, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And verse 19, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom. The kingdom is a kingdom of stability. It is built upon the rock of Jesus Christ and who He is. And the only way we can know who He really is by hearing the voice of God. Flesh and blood did not reveal that to Peter, But my Father which is in heaven, the Spirit of God revealed that. You heard a voice outside of yours, but that voice spoke of stability. And therefore, when you build upon the rock, you're building on stable ground. You're coming into the kingdom. You've got keys to the kingdom. And the gates of hell will not prevail. And whatever you bind and whatever you loose will be bound and will be loosed. There's power in the kingdom. Amen. Are y'all with me? And it's stability. But anything else that you build on outside of that is instability. And it'll shake away, and it will not be able to remain. You got to hear that. So what I want you to understand is there is power in a voice. God's voice, back to Hebrews chapter 12, says in verse 27, now this yet once more indicates the removal of those things that are shaken, and the things that cannot be shaken will remain. God's voice will shake your world. It will. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. When God speaks, your world will shake. What you do with what He says will determine how well you live. Amen. But God's word, God's voice shakes our world. So we got to hear that. Now let me get into a few things with you. And I'm just coming. I'm going to share four things with you tonight out of this setting that my eyes were open to about the power of a voice and understanding that God speaks, and God speaks kingdom principles, kingdom keys, the kingdom of God. God speaks to us stability that is found only in Christ, and everything else shakes. Nothing else can stand in the presence of that kingdom. It's all going to fall away. And if you'll receive it, all that will fall away and you'll live in it. If you don't receive it, you're going to fall away with everything else that falls away. Man, do we understand that? And the separating factor is, are you built upon Christ or are you built upon some other shaky foundation? Okay? So you got to understand that. So the power of a voice is the word that God speaks about the kingdom. Christ revealed the kingdom. When He came and walked on this earth, He revealed the kingdom. The kingdom of God is upon you. Amen. He told parables about the kingdom. He was revealing to them the kingdom. Then He died and He settled it. Now this kingdom can come alive within men and women. And this kingdom now is a kingdom that is a finished work, but it is still yet to be fully seen. So therefore, the writer can say, and rightfully so, that we are receiving a kingdom that we have already received. Amen. You can receive this kingdom, but still yet be receiving this kingdom. So once you are built on solid ground, you start getting downloads from God about this kingdom. Amen. Come on now. You receive the kingdom when you receive Christ. Man, knowing who He is, that's the key to the kingdom. The keys to the kingdom. Knowing who He is what the Spirit reveals. That's the voice of God speaking. This is my Son. In Him I am well pleased. This is my Son. Follow Him. Listen to Him. Believe Him. That's the expression of the kingdom. Amen. And you receive the kingdom when you receive Christ. But then having received the kingdom, you are still receiving the kingdom. Amen. Because God's still speaking. He's now revealing deeper things to you, more to you about the kingdom. And you have to receive those things. If you reject, or if you turn from, or if you refuse, then whatever you're not receiving, there's shaky ground in your life, and it will be shaken away. But if you'll build upon the kingdom, hearing the words that God is speaking, building upon Christ, you'll be built on solid ground and you will continue to receive. And the more you receive from God, the more you will release. And the more you release, the more you're going to receive. That is the kingdom. Amen. So there's a power of a voice. And I'm just going to give these to you. We'll just start off with the first one. with this understanding. The loudest voice will dominate your thoughts. Can you hear that? Do you understand what I'm saying? The louder voice, the loudest voice in your life is going to dominate your thoughts. Whatever voice is the loudest in your life will dominate your thoughts. The power of a voice. We see this at work. We see this at work in our culture. You know what dominates our life? The media. They're not the biggest number of people in our culture. They are the loudest. Come on now. They have the loudest voice. And therefore, they are able to speak. And many people get caught up in whatever they are fed, that dominates their thoughts. But a lot of money put into that. Advertisers. You know, they don't throw millions of dollars away for little 30-second spots on the Super Bowl for nothing. They have done research and they've looked into that. And when those ads go out, you can be sitting there, and when you see the right ad in the right way, the next thing you know, you're hungry for whatever it is they've spoke about. Amen? They cook that McDonald's hamburger and they make it look like a big old juicy hamburger with all the trimmings on it, and you know, it looks like it's come right off the grill, and you're ready to eat it, and you're hungry for McDonald's, and you go buy one, and how many know it never looks like that when you get it? It looks like, what happened to my burger? That, you know, that's not the same burger you were advertising. But their voice dominated your thoughts. The loudest voice will dominate your thought. Think of it this way. Have you ever seen people give press conferences? President or whoever it might be. And they stand up and they say their piece, whatever they've come to say. And then an amazing thing happens. When they finish, what does the press corps immediately begin to do? Shout questions. And I mean, it's like a scrum. You just hear voices, and they're all trying to be the loudest voice, because then that's going to, in their mind, connect with the speaker, and they're going to address them because they had the loudest voice. Hey, come on now. I'm going somewhere with this. See, the loudest, here's the thing. We've got to remember, family, we got to remember this. The loudest voice in your life will dominate your thinking. God is speaking, but His voice is not the only voice. Come on now. His voice is not the only. How many know you have your own voice? And your voice sometimes is louder than God's voice. And you cancel out what God's saying because you're speaking. And your words dominate your thoughts. Amen. Other people have voices. And sometimes their voices are louder than God's voice in your life, and their voices dominate your thoughts. Whatever other people have said you can do, be, or believe, or what you are, what you look like, you hear those voices more than you hear God's voice. They dominate your thoughts because they are louder. Your thought life becomes dominated. We see this all the time. Do you know celebrities? Do you know, if you go look at the number of celebrities in our country, that number is a minuscule number compared to the vast number of people in this country. But their voice dominates culture. Don't feed me this stuff of the church. Well, we just can't compete. You got small groups of people. You want to know who understands this better than the church does? The LGBT community understands this. Do you know in our culture, there has been a large rise from 2012 to 2016. I looked it up on Gallup Research. From 2012 to 2016, there's been a large jump in those who proclaim, self-proclaim to be lesbian, gay, bisexual, trans, all the stuff. I can't keep up with it all. But there's been a large uptake. And in 2016, which was the last report that I've seen, there was a whopping 4.1% of American people. Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying loud voices dominates our thinking. We're having debates and arguments over what is not a large percentage. And the reason being is they know how to dominate the voices. Well, I bring that up though, and then all of a sudden in your mind, you're going to start having these debates in your mind about all the arguments that are going on. Right? I'm not here to debate the arguments. I'm just telling you, they know exactly how to get attention. And their voice is loud and it's dominating thoughts to such a point that it far outweighs the reality. The loudest voice will dominate your thinking. Why am I saying this? Because as Christians, we need to understand this. What is the loudest voice in our lives? If it is the world, if it is ourselves, if it is other people's opinions, if it comes from a place of envy or jealousy, if it comes out of a desire for greed or power, if it's the powerful in the world, if it's the finances of the world, even you can go to the wealthiest few. They are minuscule as far as people, but they have a loud voice. And policies are made by them for everybody else. Come on now. Because that loud voice dominates thinking. And so we need to evaluate in our lives. The Lord says, I'm speaking. Now he could and he will. Someday coming, boom. And every other voice is going to go silent. But until that time, he is speaking. The question is, are we listening? Or are we so caught up in listening to the other voices that we're missing what God is saying? The church, statistically, is illiterate. And by that I mean statistically, people who proclaim to be Christians are not reading their Bible. And because they're not reading their Bible for themselves, they are hearing only what others are telling them about the Bible. And depending on what voices they are listening to that are the loudest, they are coming up with doctrines and determinations about God, about the world, about whether God's real or not, whether this is right or not. And they're listening to other voices rather than hearing the Word of God. I mean, you can't disagree with me. It's a fact. The voices that are loudest are going to dominate your thoughts. And so as Christians, as believers, when it comes to this thing of the kingdom, and it comes to hearing the voice of God, the first thing that we have to be willing to do is we have to be willing to listen for God's voice and allow it to become louder than any other voice. And how many know that's not always easy? Because oftentimes God's voice is contrary to our voice. Otherwise, it wouldn't take faith. If God only sounded just like us, we would need no faith. We already believe us. Whew, that was deep. Now, I'm not sure we caught that, but that was a deep concept right there. You don't need faith to believe yourself. You already believe yourself. You need faith to believe something that sounds different than what you thought. Well, I believe the professionals. I believe God is a bigger professional than any of your professionals. Amen? See, we need to understand this. The loudest voice dominates your thoughts. So if you're having a hard time hearing God, He's speaking. Hebrews 12 said He was. He did, He will, and He is. And if He's speaking and you're having a hard time hearing His voice, then you need to ask yourself, are other voices louder? Am I submitting myself to other voices and allowing them to become louder than God in my life? And are those voices dominating my thoughts? Because as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And the Word tells us to let this mind, which was in Christ, be in you also. So we have to allow ourselves to be transformed, just what we went through the last several weeks in our Wednesday night teaching. And we need to allow the mind of Christ then, life within us, to live within us. We need to hear God's voice. The best way you can do that is to get in God's Word. Because in God's Word, we find the concepts that Philippians 4 and 8 talks about when he says, think on these things. See, God will tell you what to think on, because if you get your thought life right, you can hear God's voice clearly. And the only way you can get your thought life right is for Christ to begin to change and to keep you focused through the Spirit of God on the right things. So he says, think on these things. Things that are true, things that are just, things that are lovely, things that are of a good report, things that are praiseworthy. If there is any virtue, if anything is good, think on these things. Amen. So we need to evaluate if our thoughts are dominated by negativity. That's not God's voice. So what do we do? How do we change it? Only Christ can empower that change, and only the Spirit of God can bring about that power. Amen. And so we've got to get somewhere where we're hearing different voices. And so if our hearing is cluttered, our thoughts are cluttered, then we got to get somewhere where we can hear the voice of God. And the best place to do that is in the Word. Fill your mind with the Word. And then guess what you need to do? Rehearse the Word. Speak the Word. Declare the Word. Amen? We spend way too much time declaring all of our problems and what everybody else has said. You know what? Maybe I'm just getting older and crotchety now. I don't know. But I've just kind of come to the point that I really don't care what other people are saying. Amen? Give me the Word. If God said it, that's good enough for me. Now, I need to start saying it. Oh, but I'm not going to fake it. If I don't really feel that way, well, then live in your negativity, and you're not going to hear the voice of God. The loudest voices in your life are what's going to determine your thinking. That's your decision. But I'm going to hear God's Word and declare God's Word. Amen. So speak the Word of God. Get in. But you can't speak the Word if you're not in the Word. So you got to get in the Word. You got to. Here's a novel idea. If you're struggling with your thought life, listen to the Word. Amen. If we ever still had cassette tapes. Even if we still had CD players, very few people even have those anymore. I'm assuming they've put the word out on MP3 now. I don't know, but used to. I remember when they used to have the word on cassette tapes. Anybody remember that? Yes. You can go on the Bible app and hit the button that lets it read it to you. And let me tell you, the best thing in the world you can do when you're struggling or when you're needing to hear from God or you're needing an answer, just hear the word. Amen. Listen to some Christian music. It talks about God, that speaks about His word. Because let me tell you, if you're struggling with the loud voices of negativity, country music ain't gonna help you. It's gonna throw you into a whole new world of depression. My goodness, when the dog run over by the train that mama was laying on the tracks on, and I mean, you know, it's gonna get worse and worse, and your girlfriend what left you for your wife, and you know, I mean, it's just gonna get bad, and it's just gonna get worse from there, right? And it's not just country music. The things of the world won't help you in those times. You're hearing those enough. Is that too radical for you? If fear is in your life, I heard that. If fear is in your life of what's going on, let me give you some really good advice. 6 o'clock, turn the news off. And for 15 minutes, hear the word. Read the word. Then turn it on, listen to the weather. Because in Oklahoma, you need to be weather aware. Amen. You need to see how bad they missed it so we can complain about it. But turn it, and then you get the sports, and that's pretty godly usually. Anyway, but if fear's in your life, quit submitting yourself to the voices of fear. Hey, let me help you. If you're fearful about everything that's going on, don't run around trying to find every end times preacher you can find, because they will scare the daylights out of you. And if they set the date for when Jesus is coming, don't ever listen to them again. Amen. Amen. I just throw that in for free anyway. You can take with that whatever you want. Because even he said no man's going to know the day or the hour. So I'm out when they do that. The guy that wrote the 88 books, he was coming in 80. I was out. I didn't sell my stuff. I didn't head off under the hills. I didn't do any of that. And then when he came out with a new book of 96 reasons or 89 and 89 because he left out one or something, like, you know, I was already out. The Y2K stuff came. Y'all remember the Y2K stuff? Y'all remember when the world was going to end in 2000? Amen. I went to a seminar. John Stokes talked me into going to a seminar. He said, hey, we need to go to that. We went to a seminar, this church somewhere up on the north side. And these people were in there, and they're giving this pitch that what the church needs to do, this was pre-2000, what the church needs to do, because when it struck 2000, all the clocks on the computers, how stupid are we? All the clocks on the computers, they're not set to roll over, and so it's just all, everything's crashing. It's all over. We're all dead. All going to die. And we said in that seminar, as they're telling us, and they're talking about all these little straws with cleansing stuff in them to drink the bad water. And here's what they said. They said, as churches, you need to store up food, generators, not so you can sell it to the people. And when they said that, John and I were sitting there and I said, I'm ready to go. Because when they started, he was laughing. Now, he didn't buy into it. He just took me there because he thought it was funny. If you know John, you know that's true. We sat there and heard them telling us how churches need to capitalize on the end of the world. Amen. And I was out. Should we be smart and be prepared for catastrophe? Sure, living in Moore, Oklahoma, you should be prepared for a few days. Amen. Because we're, amen. You might as well be ready for that. But this stuff. If you're fearful about stuff, don't run around listening to that. Let me tell you what would do you better. What will do you better than listening to all the calamity and how everything you hear on the news is telling you that the end of the world is upon us and this guy's the Antichrist and you're just ate up with it and you can't even leave your house because you're so... Let me tell you what will help you more than that. If you will just focus on loving the Lord and loving the people around you and walking in His Spirit and living with His peace and demonstrating His power, if you would focus there, you would find the kingdom works no matter what the other voices are saying. It wouldn't be as fun, you're right. The loudest voices will dominate your thoughts. The power of a voice. Samuel and Eli. Samuel didn't even know what he was hearing, but God began to call to him. He was a young boy, and he goes in, and Eli finally says, "I think it's the Lord." Next time he speaks to you, say, "Here am I." And when he did, God began to speak to him. When you can get the other thoughts away and hear God. Paul's conversion. He had all of his religious thoughts. All of his religious thoughts until he heard the voice of the Lord. The voice of God will bring more stability and more power into your life than the vision of God through your eyes. Because Paul saw a bright light, fell off of his horse blind, but he heard the Lord speak to him. Amen. Sometimes your eyes may need to be shut so you can hear. I'm going to give you the next one, and I'm not going to really go into it tonight. I'm just going to give it because you need to think about it, and we'll get into it next week. The most consistent voice. Okay? The most consistent voice develops belief. The most consistent voice in your life will develop your belief system. The loudest voice will dominate your thoughts. The most consistent voice in your life will develop your beliefs. See, God's speaking, and He's speaking consistently. And His word is forever. The Bible even says His word will not return void. His word, once it is spoken, it's always there. You can have a consistent diet of the Word, and if you will, it will begin to develop your belief system, your faith system. I'll get into that. We'll go somewhere with that next week. But let me ask you this. Not only what is the loudest voice you're hearing, what is the most consistent voice in your life? What is the voice you're subjecting and submitting yourself to the most? Because that is where your belief system comes from. I saw that. I'll just leave that alone. If we're married, that's why we want a godly wife or a godly husband. Amen. So that consistency is developing faith. That's why parents, you better be speaking to your kids. Yes. That's right. You can go, I didn't go there. We may pick it up later in this time together, later in weeks to come. But Psalm 29. Go read Psalm 29, Psalm of David. Man, it talks about the voice of the Lord is as many waters. And when God speaks, the deer gives birth. I mean, you know, the voice of the Lord is roaring, is booming. He'll speak loudly if we will put him first. Yes. And he wants to speak consistently. The killer of Christian living, belief, faith, and families is inconsistency with the Word of God. Amen? The killer, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. The killer of Christian families, faith, what destroys that is inconsistency with God's voice. Inconsistency is a killer. I'm going to stop there. Inconsistency in your life with God, with His Word, with His voice, with His presence, gives the killer room to operate. Speak to your kids. Speak to them about God. Speak to them the words of God. Be a loud voice in their life. They go off to school. They're hearing all sorts of voices. But you still have influence if you'll speak. Consistency in the Word of God. Amen. In your relationships, speak consistently of God's ways. Speak love, peace, favor. Stand to your feet with me tonight. We're going, but we'll come back to this. We're going to come back. There's more I want to bring to you out of this. But remember, there's a power of a voice. God's voice shook the earth, will shake the earth, and right now shakes our world. Amen. And he speaks about the kingdom. And the kingdom is a kingdom of consistency built upon the rock of Christ. And everything else is sinking sand. Inconsistency. And so the loudest voice dominates our thoughts. Because we hear that the loudest. And that's the thoughts you'll fight with. The thoughts you fight with come from the loudest voice you've allowed in. And the most consistent voice in your life develops beliefs.